Lord, this is your word. Is your word eternal truth, unchanged and unchanging? Help us to receive it now as your word, to believe it as your revelation, understand it by your spirit, and embrace it by faith. We ask in Jesus' name for your glory and our good. Amen. I wonder whether you've ever had any food-related disasters. There was one I was reminded of this morning when Liz and I went to visit my brother in Canada a few years ago. We had a wonderful 2 weeks of holiday with them, and just before we left, we thought it'd be good to buy something to give them as a thank you for the holiday. So we were passing a Dairy Queen shop, and we noticed they sold cakes with, you could take a photograph and put the photograph on the cake. So that would be a good idea. So we got one of these cakes, and the last day we were there, my brother and his wife were off at work, and we bought this cake and we put it in the fridge. And then when they got home from work that evening, we said to them, we've got something in the fridge for you. And it's one of these big American fridges with the double doors and sort of head height. And so my brother went to the fridge and opened the double doors. And what we hadn't realized was this cake was an ice cream cake. And it was on the top shelf. I say it was on the top shelf. It had melted all the way down the fridge. And it was, I don't know how many gallons it was. A lot of ice cream was just covering their fridge. And as he opened the door, it leaked out onto the floor. And so we spent the next sort of half an hour just clearing up all this ice cream. So instead of, we could probably have fed 20 people, and actually we fed none from that cake. So kind of the reverse of what Jesus does in this story. But it was a memorable story, and even now when we meet, this is some 15 years ago, we still remember and laugh about our attempt to feed people. But there we go. Last week, we were looking at the parables of the kingdom. The king and his kingdom is the theme that we're looking through these months, and it was great to have Anthony preaching for us. And by the way, Anthony's here today with May for the last time before they head off back to Hong Kong for a few months, so do say goodbye. And they have got some information about a prayer request and so on for the ministry they work with here, so do take one of those at the end. But it was great. We had an insight into Anthony's garden last week. And if you missed it, do catch up on the website, the recording there. But a wonderful reminder for us that the kingdom of God is not a place we go to when we die, but it's wherever God is in control and wherever God is recognized to be God now. And the kingdom is growing. Anthony was reminding us last week. We thought about the wheat and the weeds and to the challenge to us to look at our own lives and think where are the weeds growing and where is the wheat growing? And one thing I loved at the end, Anthony said, that wheat grows in a wheat field. Wheat grows in a wheat field. And the encouragement for us as Christians to be here on a Sunday in church with other Christians, encouraging each other to grow and to see the kingdom growing in our lives, not only on the Sunday, but on Tuesday at our place of welcome, in our home group on a Wednesday or Thursday, at the community cafe on Friday. Lots of opportunities for us to encourage each other and to be people who are encouraging others to grow in the kingdom. But how about today? The story that Donald read for us. It's a well-known story. It's a familiar story, I'm sure, to most of us. And it's a memorable story. The feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle, apart from the resurrection of Jesus, that is in all four of the Gospels. But even such a familiar story, I found this past week, there are phrases from this story which have jumped out at me this week and have really struck me. I want to share just a few of them with you this morning. One that describes Jesus, a phrase that describes Jesus. The second thing, something that the disciples say to Jesus. And then finally, Jesus' response to them. So firstly, the description of Jesus in the first few verses of this passage where it says, Jesus had compassion on them. If you're able to follow, we're on page 981. You can check that what I'm saying is from the Bible. I'm not making it up. And in verse 13, you'll see the build-up to this. It says this, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat. Well, what is it that he's heard about? If you look back to the start of chapter 14, John the Baptist has been arrested, he's been imprisoned, and then he's brutally murdered by Herod. John was someone Jesus knew well. You remember back in chapter 3, John had baptized Jesus. John was a relative of Jesus. And so this terrible news that comes to Jesus in here in chapter 14 is difficult to hear. And Jesus withdraws privately by boat to a solitary place, presumably to be quiet, just with his close friends, the disciples, and to reflect and pray and process the news that he's just heard. But the plan doesn't quite work because the crowds follow. And verse 14, we see there, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. Jesus had compassion on them. Literally, his heart went out to them. That word compassion, it's a deep, deep word. It's a very powerful word. And it's a kind of emotion that drives you to action. Jesus then went to heal the people who were ill. Even at this difficult moment, even with this tragic news, Jesus had compassion on them. And I was thinking about this. I think actually those five words there could almost sum up the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus, the Son of God, feels such a depth of love and compassion for people in need that he steps in and takes action. Here we see him healing. In a few minutes we see him feeding. And ultimately on the cross we see him doing both, healing and feeding, putting us right with God. Jesus had compassion on them. And for me, there's two things that come out of that. Firstly, do we know Jesus' compassion? Do we know that personally? Do we know truly that Jesus looks at you and he looks at me and his heart goes out to us? Not just an emotional response, but one that brings him to action. That Jesus longs for the best for you and for me. And he's acted to make it happen. It may be that you're here this morning and you don't know that compassion for yourself. But if you'd like to talk about that, I would be delighted to speak to you afterwards or one of the deacons. But I suspect many of us would say, yes, we have known that compassion. Then the follow-on question is, do we share that compassion with others? If we have experienced it, do we pass that on? There's a song that Hillsongs wrote called Hosanna, which has a line in the middle, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Perhaps we might sing it one day. "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And I was listening to it the other day and I thought, what a prayer to pray. And what might change if we prayed that prayer in our own lives? How might we see, for example, a homeless person on the street differently if we prayed that prayer? There's 100 reasons why we shouldn't connect with them or reach out to them, but Jesus had compassion on them. Over this past week in the news, Shamima Begum has been often on the front pages. And there are many reasons why a country like ours might say, no, we can't admit this person again. And yet Jesus had compassion on them. Was it risky? Was it costly? Of course it was. There was something else on the news on Friday. You may have seen this in Encliffe Park in Sheffield. And the 75th anniversary on Friday of this aeroplane crash. I'm sure you've heard of this. And 10 US airmen died here in this park. And the story of how they died is a picture of compassion. Because they were flying over Sheffield looking for somewhere to land, and they found this park and they circled in to land, and then the pilot noticed that there were children playing in the park. And so rather than land and risk the lives of those children, he pulled up and the plane crashed into these trees, and all 10 of those airmen died there. It's a story that embodies compassion. That costs, that's risky, that puts others before ourselves. And it's the picture we see in Jesus. Jesus had compassion on them. The second phrase that's jumped out at me is this one in verse 17. The disciples, they say, we have only five loaves. You see, Jesus had been preaching and healing the sick there, and evening was approaching. So in verse 15, the disciples come to Jesus and say, this is a remote place. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Now, it's always dangerous, isn't it, when the disciples start telling Jesus what he should do. But they're probably quite rightly concerned, aren't they, about the crowds. How are they going to fit? It seems like a fairly sensible plan to me to send them away to go and find food. But Jesus says, verse 16, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And can you imagine those disciples stood there next to Jesus, hearing this, looking out at the crowd and 5,000 men, if there were women and children there, perhaps 15,000. Now, no offense to Barry, but I looked and Bolton Wanderers Football Club have had fewer than 15,000 people on average at home games this past season. But it's a football-sized crowd, bigger than a football-sized crowd, 15,000 people. And the disciples look around, and now I thought about bringing fish, and I thought Brenda might not thank me, but I have some loaves. And this is what they have, five loaves and two fish. And when we say loaves, we're not talking about sort of massive King's Meal-sized loaves. It's these kind of size loaves, small barley loaves in John's Gospel, we're told, and two small fish, enough perhaps for one person. I don't know, maybe not even enough for one person to eat. And they have five of these and two small fish and a football crowd to feed. They look at their resources and they look at the crowd and they say to Jesus, we have here only five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish. In other words, Jesus, we can't do this. We can't do this. And as I was looking at these loaves and thinking about our church and myself, I wonder what would we say are our loaves and our fishes? Disciples counted, didn't they? To five and to two, not a lot, but they counted. And they looked at their resources. And I wonder what resources I carry and you carry when you come in to church. The material things that we have, the gifts and the skills that we have, the time that we have, the experience that we have. As individuals and as a church, what are the loaves and fishes that we have? And now Jesus gave those disciples a task to feed these 15,000 people. He gives us a task in Matthew 28, the end of the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And perhaps when we look at our resources and we look at our task, we might say this, Jesus, we only have 65 members. We only have 100 people in our church. We only have so many buildings. We only have whatever it may be. We only have this much. And perhaps in one perspective, that might seem like a real negative thing to say. We only have this much. But I was thinking about this on Friday and thinking, well, actually, if we ever think we have enough to do what God's called us to do, it may be that our vision is too small. Because again and again in the Bible, we see this happening. People coming to Jesus and saying, this is all we have. We only have five loaves. Coming to God and saying that, and God using that wonderfully as he does here. And if we did have enough, well, we wouldn't need God. We could just get on and do it. There's a quote which I shared with Mike and Dave on Friday. Came across this a couple of weeks back. A.W. Tozer was an American writer writing some 60 years ago. And he said this, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on. And no one would know the difference. And when I heard that, I thought, gosh, challenging, isn't it, to think if God were not here, how much of what we do would just continue and nobody would know? And then we think about the story that Donald read for us. If God were not in that story, if God were not at work in those loaves of bread and those fishes, how many people would have been fed? Not 5%, not 1%. Almost 100% of those people would not have been fed with these five loaves and two fishes. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from our church, I'm not suggesting that he will, how much of what we do would go on? It's a challenge for us as a church that as we come to God, looking at the task that we have and the resources that's available to us, we need to recognize we need God. We need his help. We need to be praying and asking that he would work with these things that we bring to him. So the disciples say, we only have five loaves and two fish. And how does Jesus respond? The final thing this morning, verse 18. And I love this. It's another five words. I had to fiddle them a little bit to get them all five words, but there we go. Jesus says this, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. The five loaves, the two fish, bring them here. This is all we have, say the disciples. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. Now, here's the thing that struck me. How many? All of them, right? Jesus doesn't ask for more than they have, but he does ask for all of it. All of it. Bring them here to me. Not keep a few for yourself. Stick one in your back pocket for later. No, bring them here to me. That's what Jesus calls them to. And verse 19, you know the story. Jesus asks the people to sit down. He takes the bread and the fish. He breaks it. He gives thanks, breaks it, and then hands the bread and the fish to the disciples. And I'm sure you know the similarities there. This is clearly, when we share communion here, we read the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. Takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. There's a clear foretaste here in this story of the Lord's Supper, but also looking further forward to the heavenly banquet that will come when Jesus returns. But for this morning, Jesus says, bring them here to me. And I wonder, did you notice as Donna was reading that, who feeds the 5,000? That's right, Trevor. It's not Jesus. It's not Jesus who feeds the 5,000. It's the disciples, verse 19 at the end there. Then Jesus gave the bread and the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples give them to the people. And I was thinking about this walking up here this morning in the mist and the fog, thinking, well, it's evening there in Galilee by the lake, and it's been a long day, and people are tired, and I don't know how many of this crowd even noticed that a miracle had happened. The disciples were going around giving out the food. They were eating. They were happy. They were full. They were satisfied. How many people actually knew that it came from just those five loaves and two fish? Well, the disciples knew. The disciples knew. But where did it begin? It began here with the disciples bringing that to Jesus, those five loaves and those two fish. And in that handing over, there was an act of trust and obedience and, yes, risk involved for those disciples to hand to Jesus all that they had. It wasn't much, but it was all they had. And they brought it to Jesus. And Jesus gave it back, but gave it back to hand on, blessed to be a blessing to others. And 5,000 men plus women and children were fed. And I think Jesus here surely is teaching the disciples a lesson and teaching us a lesson as we read about this story, that your resources are not enough for what I want you to do. But bring those to me and I can do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine. Disciples don't ask Jesus to do this. Did you notice that? But Jesus does immeasurably more than all they could ask or imagine. So I wonder this morning what our response is going to be as we draw to a close, as we sing again in a moment, and then we go and have coffee and tea together. You see, Jesus had compassion on them. I wonder if we know Jesus' compassion. If we do know it, are we sharing that compassion in our daily lives, maybe through those Lent ideas, maybe through other ways. And what are our five loaves and two fish? Perhaps we are somebody who thinks, I have nothing to bring. Well, this is how much the disciples had to bring between them, 12 of them, and that's all they have. And they probably took it off a little boy. Five loaves and two fish. If we think we don't have anything to bring, there's encouragement in this story. What are those resources that we have, and are we prepared to bring them to Jesus? Here's where I embarrass Dave a little bit, because how might we do that? Well, this was Friday, with a Hoover, hoovering up the dust in the office, serving the church here in practical ways. As part of a team, this is Dave and Mike, if you can't see it, in the church office, putting up a notice board. But there's so many ways that God might use us within the church, within our community, to serve him, to bring those gifts and skills, whatever they may be that we have, perhaps in prayer for the junior church, perhaps in helping out around the building here, perhaps in all sorts of other different ways, perhaps financially giving, supporting what God is doing. But whatever it may be, being open to saying, yes, these here are my loaves. There's only five of them. There's not many of them. But I bring them, Jesus, to you. Would you use them for your kingdom? I invite Josh and Lauren to come and Hiromi. And we're going to sing in a moment. But let's pray before we sing, Blessed Be Your Name. Lord Jesus, this morning we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your compassion on those crowds, for your compassion on us. And Lord, would you help us to assess well the loaves and the fish that we carry, the gifts and resources that you have entrusted us with. And Lord, would you give us the faith, give us the compassion that you have, that would inspire us to bring our gifts to you, that you might use them to do immeasurably more than all we might ask or imagine. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.